In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have before us, brothers and sisters, in this parable about the Good Samaritan, many, many teachings. This parable is multi-layered. The Lord, when He spoke His parables, generally meant at least two different things. In this case, there are many, many things that He wishes us to know. First of all, when the lawyer came up to Him, and a lawyer was just a person who studied the law, not the same as we understand lawyers to be now. Not that he went in a court and represented people. He studied the Jewish law. And he came up to Him, and he wanted to trip Him up. So he said, "What shall I do to enter eternal life?" And the Lord, if you notice, did not answer him directly. The Lord does this a lot. He rarely answers a question directly. Why is this? Why not just tell directly? Well, the reason why is because the Christian life is not lived by having things come to us with ease. They must be learned. The only way you learn something is by living it. If you're just told something, that doesn't mean that you believe it. That doesn't mean that you really live it. You have to live according to the gospel in order to really understand. So the Lord very rarely in the gospels answered directly. And this is to show us that we must think, live with our hearts. Not according to the letter of the law, but according to its spirit. Now, He had also spoken of the things that the lawyer spoke of, because the lawyer, when he answered the question to the Lord, said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Well, this is quotation from two separate portions of Scripture, Deuteronomy and Leviticus. In no way, in no place in the Scripture is it tied together in this way. The lawyer must have heard the Lord speaking and bringing together the true meaning of the Old Testament. Isn't that what the Lord did? Didn't He summarize for us how to live? It had been pointed to in the Old Testament. The Old Testament contains the words of life too. But it wasn't well understood. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He fulfilled the law so that we can fulfill the law. Now, the lawyer answers correctly. But after the Lord says, "Okay, this do and you shall live," see, that's not easy enough for such a man who thinks rationally. "This do and I shall live." Well, who is my neighbor? He wants to kind of figure out exactly what do I need to do? What can I get by with? This is the way we live too. We don't take the words of the Lord on their face value very often. The Lord says to turn the other cheek. The Lord says to love our enemies. The Lord says to do the commandments if we love Him. We say we love Him, but we don't do His commandments. We say we love Him, and yet when someone harms us, do we turn the other cheek? Not so often, even if it's only in our heart that we become angry. So this man was like us, very much like us. How much can I do? How much do I need to do? Who is my neighbor? Now, he was a man of some repute in society. He wasn't a beggar. He wasn't poor. He had everything taken care of, all of his personal needs, so that he could study Scripture all day long. And when he walked in the marketplace, people respected him and called him rabbi and teacher. Who's my neighbor? He didn't want to have neighbors such as the poor, such as those that were below him. Who is my neighbor? Well, the Lord, again, did not answer directly. He could have said, "You fool, all men are your neighbor. I love everyone equally, and you should love as I love," which means every single person, you should love as yourself. So everyone is your neighbor. But he didn't answer like that, did he? Instead, he gave a story. Now, this story is not only the answer to who is my neighbor, which in a roundabout way after many words. The word is, my neighbor is everybody. Not just the answer to that question. We can look that the answer to that question up in a book. Instead, he adds more and more teaching about the incarnation, about what true compassion really is, about the church, about the judgment, about our responsibility, if we want to call ourselves Christians, how we should act, how we should really live, about how human nature will be changed, and also a promise to us that indeed we will be changed, and that no matter what the demons do, if we believe, if we struggle to live according to the gospel, we will be saved. That's all in this story, in only a few words. So the Lord answers and says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Who is this certain man? Remember what I say about reading the scriptures? When you read the scriptures, apply them to yourself. The certain man is you. The certain man is me. The certain man is Adam, is mankind. It is the human condition to go from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Jerusalem is salvation, is blessedness. Jericho is down in the valley where it's hot, where it's not as pleasant to live, where there are thieves along the road. We're always going from Jerusalem to Jericho. We're always going down. Perhaps not always, but very often we turn our face to go down, away from blessedness. And on the road there are thieves, and those thieves are the demons. And really, we can't just blame the demons. We ourselves steal from ourselves. But in this case, he's especially referring to the demons. And they strip the man of his raiment. Raiment is a sign of honor. Truly, sin dishonors a man. Truly, sin makes a man to be unclean, to not be able to fulfill the will of God for his life. The Lord wants you to have eternal life. The Lord wants you to be blessed, to have perfect knowledge, perfect holiness. The stripping of the raiment is showing that the demons are taking away from us this knowledge and this holiness. But only halfway. They stripped him and beat him and left him half dead. The demons can't kill us. Nor can our sins kill us. No, indeed. The only thing that can kill us is if we don't repent, if we don't believe that the Lord can help us, and if we don't struggle to live according to the gospel. The demons can't kill you. Nor can your sins. Only your lack of repentance, your lack of caring, your unbelief. Those things can kill. So the man is by the road, and he's stripped of his raiment, and he's half dead, and he's bleeding. Then the Lord says, by chance there came a priest by the way. And he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. Remember, he was speaking to Jews. The priests would not touch a body that was dead. If they did, they were ritually unclean, and they had to go through a whole long ceremony, and this would be a big bother for this priest. So he passed by on the other side. So there's a teaching, your teaching about compassion. He cared more for his convenience than he did for another man. And likewise, the Levite did the same thing. He didn't want to be defiled by a dead body. But if that's all you understand by the Levite and the priest passing by, then I tell you, you've missed the best part. The best part is that the Levite and the priest, they're only men. They can speak of God. They can speak of holiness. They can even be good and righteous, but they cannot save. The Old Testament, the law, it cannot save. Jesus Christ saves, the fulfillment of the law. So the priest and the Levite cannot help. So they passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, notice he didn't say, by chance. The certain Samaritan, of course, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who uses this reviled word of Samaritan. Samaritans were the scum, according to the Jews. They were heretics, pagans, unclean people. And the Lord uses this name as a badge. I am a Samaritan. What he's saying is that appearances are not always as they seem. So this Samaritan comes to the man in his journey. Our good Samaritan comes to all of us in his journey. Nothing is by chance. He comes to all of us by the side of the road. And if any of us is honest, we would say we have been by the side of the road, not once, not twice, but many times. We've allowed our sins to wound us and hurt us. So he sees the man, and he has compassion upon him. So he stops his journey, gets off his beast, pours in oil and wine into the man's wounds, and binds them up. Why does he do this? Well, actually, oil and wine will help. And binding up the wounds so that they won't bleed anymore, and helps him to heal, those are all good things to do. Just in first aid. But there's a meaning behind this oil and this wine and the binding up. Why did the Lord come? Why did he spend 3 years on the earth showing us how to live? And then why did he fulfill that, his promise, by resurrecting from the dead and ascending into heaven? What did he do when he did those things? He made humankind able to apprehend God, able to become holy, able to resist sin. He changed human nature so that human nature was able now to fulfill the commandments. That's what the incarnation did. And he spent a lot of time teaching us how to appropriate this ability. That's why he spent all the time on the earth. Remember, they tried to kill him within the first couple months of his ministry. And thereafter and thereafter, many times. But he wouldn't let it happen until he had finished giving a deposit of teaching to his disciples and to us, because it was recorded and because it's been passed down now in our holy tradition through the centuries. When he binds up the wounds, he makes us able to heal. We can't heal ourselves. The binding up of the wounds is giving us strength of character, strength of will, self-control. Many times we want to do well, but we cannot. The Lord gives us the strength to eventually be able to do well, to be eventually able to follow the commandments. If you look in your life, probably you can see things that in the past you couldn't control and now you can, in God's grace. And there are things now that you cannot control, ways of thinking, priorities, reactions to things that you cannot control and you wish you could. Well, the Lord will help you. This binding up is the strengthening of the will, absolutely necessary in order for us to be able to follow the commandments. See, the Lord doesn't just say, follow these commandments or you're going to die. He says, follow these commandments and I will help you. I won't do them for you, but I will give you strength. I will assist you. I will strengthen your resolve, strengthen your will, give you better self-control. But you are responsible for desiring to follow the commandments. Now, this oil and wine are the different teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oil is soothing teachings. He said many things that are very soothing to the Christian soul. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Ye are my friends. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Our Lord, God, Savior, Jesus Christ, He who created all the heavens, calls us friends. definitely soothing teachings. He says, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Many soothing teachings. This is oil. But then again, he also said things that were wine, astringent, that burned a little bit. And we need to have astringent teachings quite often. He says, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is that gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. He says, not every one that has said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many other teachings that are wine. We need both. We need encouragement, and we also need rebuke. And the Lord knows this. So he gives us both. So after binding up the wounds of this man, strengthening his will, making him more capable, filling him with teachings, encouragement, and rebuke, he puts him on his own beast. And the beast is the incarnation. We can't be saved without the incarnation. The Lord Jesus Christ took on our nature, and then he made our nature able to see God. Now he tells us all over the scriptures that we must become holy, that we must follow the commandments. Well, we're capable now. Because he has put us, as it were, on his beast. And he brings him to the inn. Now the inn is something that only the Orthodox really understand. Those who are non-denominational, they don't understand this. Who call themselves Christians. The inn is a church. The Lord was only on the earth for a short time. He didn't write any books. In an earthly way, wasn't very successful. Not during the time of his life. He left the work of the church to men, to us, to the people of God. So the innkeeper, the priests, the bishops, the deacons, but also all of us. All of us are responsible for doing God's work in different ways. We all have different abilities and different positions in life, but we're all responsible for living according to the gospel. We're all responsible for having all men as our neighbor. We're all responsible for following the commandments. Bishop Ignaty Bryachaninov talks about the difference between monks and lay people. And he says, well, on a fundamental level, there's no difference at all. We all have to follow the exact same gospel and the exact same commandments. So we're all responsible. And he gives some money to the host, and he says, take care of him, which is till the end of time. And when I come back, and he will come back, and we know this, I will repay thee. The Lord will reward for what we do. He won't forget anything. In another place he talks about, he'll remember even a cup of water given to someone who needs it. So who is the neighbor? We know the neighbor. The neighbor in this story is our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Much more important than just being able to answer this simple question is, are we willing to live as he has given us an example to live? Because this story is for us. This story is how we should live. If we really want to know God, then we had better live like he lived. Because otherwise we won't understand him. We must have compassion on all. And we must also understand that the strength to become good comes from our Lord. And that we're no different than the man by the side of the road. We also go from Jerusalem to Jericho. But the Lord will always be with us. He will always be binding our wounds, giving us oil and wine if we will take it. Some people will not take the oil and the wine. Some people will not stand still to have their wounds bound. Some people will not struggle to follow the commandments. And then they keep falling again and again into the thieves. The Lord will keep trying to save us, but we are responsible The untold part of the story is when the man went to the inn, he eventually recovered. He got his strength back, his wounds healed. Well, if he went right back on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho again, the same thing would happen again. So the untold story is after the Lord gives us strength, we are to act upon that strength and to live righteously. And we can because the Lord has taken us upon His beast. The Lord has made us capable. May God help us to believe all men to be our neighbors and to live righteously as our Lord Jesus Christ lived so that we can know Him. Amen.